Good morning. This morning we're reading from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 39 to 52. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to all the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hard. The word of God for the people of God.
Last week, we just traveled with the disciples to Gennesaret, the Gadarenes. In the rest of the chapter, we saw that Jesus healed a woman with the issue of blood who had it for 12 years, and 12-year-old girl who was raised. An interesting parallel there, I thought. We won't get into that today. But now in chapter 6, Jesus goes to his hometown, and we see at the very beginning of the chapter he's rejected. In fact, they don't even bother bringing the sick people to him. He heals a few, and that's it. Nothing big, because the people have not accepted him, cannot accept that he is who he's claiming to be. Then we see Jesus sending forth the 12 on a short missionary trip to preach and to do miracles. By the way, even Judas did miracles. So don't look at yourself and say, "God's used me in a special way, therefore I'm okay." No. You need to always guard your heart. But in this, Jesus is teaching them to trust God to provide for them. Because he tells them, for this short work, don't even bother preparing. In fact, the scripture says in verse 9 through 11, these were instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money on your belt. Wear the sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Jesus is teaching his disciples to trust God. Go forth, do this. It wasn't a long period of time, but he says, when you're doing this for this short period, just go out, trust that God will provide. Then we hear that John the Baptist has been killed. We hear the story that Herod hears about Jesus. And he's convinced that Jesus must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. Because he had killed John the Baptist. He knew John the Baptist was a prophet, and yet he went ahead and killed him. And now he thinks this must be John raised from the dead. And here's the thing that amazes me. And he did nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody raises from the dead, I might want to check this out. Especially when you cut his head off and gave it to your daughter-in-law. Or not daughter-in-law, your stepdaughter. You know, you kind of realize people don't come back from that. This is not something like, "Oh, it's a flesh wound." No, you're dead, buddy. But Herod was convinced this had to be John the Baptist raised from the dead. And instead of to go and seeing what God has done, he stays in his sin. Duh. It's kind of like that country song. Where's your sign? What do you need to see to believe? Now, of course, we know that it wasn't John the Baptist raised from the dead. It was actually somebody far greater. It was Jesus. But Herod didn't even go, though he was convinced it had to be God doing a miracle. He didn't even go. Now, let me tell you something. There are people out there that are convinced that God can do miracles. They may even believe God does miracles, and still they will not change. You say, well, if they just saw a miracle, didn't work for Herod. Herod was convinced this was a miracle. Did he change? Nope. We know that that didn't work for Israel in the Old Testament. They saw all kinds of miracles. And 3 days later, they're griping at God again and threatened to kill Moses. I'm like, so seeing a sign, I've said this before, is not going to make the difference. It's being in relationship with God and learning from Him. But as the apostles return, and they called apostles at this point, Jesus calls them apostles. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus, it says in verse 30, and reported him all they had done. Because so many people were coming and going, and they did not even have a chance to eat, he said, come with me, set yourselves apart to a quiet place, and get some rest. And they went by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Interesting note here. Jesus realized the apostles were tired, they were hungry, they were worn out, and Jesus said, just work harder. No. He said, take a break, guys. Go aside and take a rest. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not against rest. God is not against you taking a break. That's why he gave the Sabbath. Because he knew that on our own, we'd work too hard. We demand those under us to work too hard. And we'd expect somebody to work 7 days a week. And so God said, no, we're not going to have that. And now Jesus is teaching his apostles, take time to rest. Take time to rest. But they weren't going to get it. Because there were other people there who wanted Jesus. Probably because all the people that Jesus had said, don't tell anybody, went ahead and told everybody. By the way, I just have to throw this out. I think sometimes in the church and in our lives, we get extra work because some people don't know when to be quiet. Take that for what it's worth. It says in verse 33, it says, but many who saw them recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got ahead of them. And when Jesus landed, he saw the crowd. Yeah, here they is. Everybody, they're on a boat trying to get away. And these guys are running around the lake to try to get ahead of Jesus. Jesus is not going to get a break here. And when Jesus landed, he saw the crowd. And he had compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Jesus saw this crowd, and they were supposed to get time to rest. But at this time, Jesus said, get out of here, go home. No, he didn't. He said, all right, guys, sit down. I love you. I have compassion for you. I'm going to teach you today. Now, I don't know about you, many of them probably wanted to see miracles and things like this, but Jesus had compassion, and therefore he taught. And I want to point that out because Jesus gives us what we really need. Miracles are cool. I like miracles. I've given God a list of the ones I want, which he's been mostly faithfully ignoring, probably because it wouldn't be good for me if I got everything I wanted. We've talked about that before. But the one thing that God keeps trying to do to me is try to teach me. Why? Because that's what we really need. Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu is credited with saying, you can give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or teach a man to fish and feed him for a lifetime. Jesus was trying to give them what really mattered, what would matter for a lifetime. He was trying to give them truth. Because truth is what matters. Knowing God and knowing the Word of God is the thing that will make the difference in our life. We've talked before about the fact faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what a best place to get the Word of God is from. Let me tell you something. Jesus isn't going to give you something at the expense of your soul. He's going to give you what you really need. The problem is sometimes we won't take it. And if you're not willing to listen, if you're not willing to learn, you're going to miss out on what you really need. But Jesus is going to give them what they truly need. But let me tell you something. Jesus also gives you what you need at the time, often. What does Jesus care about? Jesus cares about your soul. That's why it says in Mark chapter 9, which we'll come to later, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it's better into a life crippled than to have two hands and go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. For it's better to enter life maimed than to have 2 feet and thrown into hell. Now, Jesus isn't actually saying, as we've talked about before, to actually maim your own body and hurt your own body. He's just saying this is the type of extreme you need to go to, through. You need to be willing to do what's needed to be faithful to God, even if it feels like it cripples you. And let me tell you something. There are people who are in business who say, if I am honest and have a personal integrity, I'll go bankrupt. Then be willing to go bankrupt. If I always tell the boss the truth, I may be fired. You weren't looking for a job when you found this one, right? Yeah, I don't want you to lose your job. I don't want you to go bankrupt. But Jesus says it's far better to cripple yourself in this world than to be non-crippled, be able to do whatever you need to, and go into hell. By the way, just short thing here. Usually, if you make a habit of lying and cheating, eventually it comes back on you anyway. So you might as well do it right to begin with. Jesus says, I know what's best. Do it. But yet, the disciples see what's going on. Oops, I'm ahead of myself here. Sorry about that. The disciples see this crowd and they realize this is a remote place. They're hungry. They need food. Well, to be quite honest, the disciples, man, they needed food too. So this might have been a little self-serving. Because even before this, they were tired. They were hungry because it says they didn't even have time to eat. And now they've rowed across the boat. And now they're here and they're teaching again. And with Jesus teaching, if the crowd being so large, what may have been happening was Jesus was teaching and the disciples were standing out a little further, repeating his words. So his disciples weren't just sitting back there with their feet up, taking it easy. They were probably active this whole time also. So they were tired and hungry before. Now they're really tired. They're really hungry. And they may be a little cranky. I don't know. I get that way when I'm tired and hungry. I'm sure the rest of you do better than that. Y'all probably good temper when you're hungry and tired, right? Okay, I hear laughter. That means I'm not the only ones. Good. But Jesus saw this, and he had compassion on them. And yes, we talked about Jesus gives us what we really need, but let me tell you, sometimes Jesus gives us what we need physically too. Yes, he's concerned ultimately about what we need spiritually and what we need to make it to heaven. But Jesus is also concerned about what's going on in your life right now. Over my years of ministry and my work history, especially when I was working at a factory, we would get this overtime a lot. Because they said, "You're working this weekend, right?" And you were like, "Yes," or "No, you're employed." So I would say yes, because there was no choice. And usually if they got a big amount of overtime, I thought, "Woohoo, free money." No, always something was coming up. Me and my wife would usually say, "Oh, you're having to work a bunch of extra overtime? Guess something else is coming up." We just figured something was coming up. God always provided. God provides for our little things. There have been times God's done it supernaturally, sometimes through people. It was just, God has done amazing things, and he does those things. He provides for our physical needs, but not at the expense of our spirit. And as Jesus looked at these people, he saw the fact that they needed food to eat. They were hungry. And he asked his disciples, "You know, you need to take care of them." Verse 35 through 38, it said, "This is a remote place," they said. "It's already late. Send the people away so they can surround the countryside and village to buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "It would take more than half of your wages. Are we going to spread that much on bread and give them to eat?" They're like, "Excuse me. I got Jesus, we don't got enough. I need more than $3 to feed for everybody in this church, God." No, that's a debit card. There's nothing there either. So how are we going to provide for these? And Jesus says something wonderful. The disciples, they just saw the impossible. They saw the fact that they didn't have enough. They needed to send these people away. They'll take care of themselves. And then maybe they were thinking they will have a break too. But Jesus commanded them to see what they have. "What do you have?" It's like, "God, I got $3, God." Everybody here is going to starve. It's not going to happen. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't need the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus didn't need that. He could have done it supernaturally. My goodness, God made the world from nothing. I think he can make a few little bit of food. But he was allowing the disciples to participate in this miracle. And so they took what they had. They gave it to God. That wasn't in my notes. Now I have to go see my wife if she's got any money. And they said, "Okay, God, here's what we got. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. 5,000. I don't know about you, but that's not much of a food. I mean, even the fish was, you know, one of those big old fish, which it wasn't, by the way. Those don't come that big in the Sea of Galilee. Probably more like, maybe they got a good one. But 5,000? Ain't happening. And a loaf of bread, 5,000? Not happening. But here's the thing. When you give what you have to God, and you trust God to make up the difference, amazing things happen. I heard one preacher, and I've actually heard several preachers say this. Interesting thing, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. We all have 5 senses, we all have 2 hands. And if we give those to God, God can do great things. I don't know if the analogy is true or not as far as biblical, but I think it's a cool analogy. It is a truth, though. You give God what you have, and God can do something greater. In fact, God can kind of, you know what I'm saying, but I don't have much. Well, guess what? That's okay. Moses, what did Moses have? This 80-year-old guy in the wilderness taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Here's a real guy making it out of the 80 years old and still working for his father-in-law. This is not rocket science. He's not got it. And what does he have? He has a staff. Did he do something for God? Yeah, he did. David had a sling. Gideon had 300 men to take on 135,000. The widow that Elijah came to had a little oil, a little flour for 1 loaf of bread and a few sticks. Elisha had his hand-me-down cloak. Mary had no husband. In fact, actually, Mary didn't have a man at all in her life. But they all had something that made the difference. They all trusted God. They all said, God, I submit myself to you. And guess what? God did the impossible. God did the impossible. And let me tell you something. What little you have with your faith in God, and God can do great things. Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. And Jesus does this great miracle using what the disciples had. And as the story goes, They took up the leftovers and had 12 baskets full left. One enough for each of them. Enough for the rest of their, enough to help carry them into the next part of their ministry. And then Jesus, as this ends up and they see all this great thing, he says, guys, you still need a break. Get in the boat. Go to the other side. I'll take care of the crowd. And I'm sure they were like, thank goodness. We got food. We've got had plenty to eat. People are satisfied. We can get out of here now. And Jesus dismissed the crowd. And then we're coming up now to the reading for today. He dismissed the crowd. He sent the disciples to the other side. And then Jesus went, after he dismissed the crowd, up on alone in the mountain to pray. And on the mountain, he looked down and he saw the disciples struggling. Jesus sent them to the other side. Now, a couple chapters back, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And he's saying the same thing this time. Let's go to the other side. Except this time, Jesus is not in the boat with them. And now the waves come again. The wind comes again. And they're struggling. And they're struggling. And they're fighting to try to get to the other side, and they're not getting anywhere. The winds are against them. The storm is against them, and they're like, they're just not making any progress. I don't know about you in your life. You may have those times where you're thinking, ah, I finally get a break, and then it ain't happening. Sorry, it isn't happening. It's not taking place. This was supposed to be a vacation. I'm not sure nobody have ever said that thing, right? This was supposed to be my day off. Yeah, right. And something went wrong. Well, one thing went wrong. Everything. You're like, what else could happen? And then you wished, why did I say that? Because you could find out what else could happen. And yet Jesus is up there. He's watching them. And let me tell you something. You may feel alone, but Jesus is watching you. You're not really alone. The disciples are struggling again on the lake. For fishermen, they have bad luck. Because whenever Jesus is around, it seems like they've just finished a day and they haven't caught anything. Or when they're out on the boat and Jesus is around, everything's going wrong. Here's the winds and the waves and we can't get across. And what else can happen now? Oops, we asked that question. The disciples looked at the circumstances. They could only saw one possibility when all of a sudden they looked across and they saw a person that looked like Jesus walking across the water. There was only one possibility. Ghost! Because it can't be Jesus. Jesus doesn't walk on water. That's not the way God works. Or is it? It is. God works in ways that doesn't seem possible, that in the natural isn't possible. And yet the disciples, and by the way, at this point, a few verses before, Jesus calls them apostles. They were out doing miracles. And now at this portion of Scripture, they're back going to be calling disciples. Because they're students, they haven't got it. They had seen the miracles before. They saw Jesus calm the storm. They saw Jesus cast out legion and cleanse the area. They had seen miracle after miracle. They had done miracles. And now they're looking at what they should have seen as a miracle. And all of a sudden they're freaking out. They're scared. They're terrified. They think ghost. And the word here for terrified is a word that means cowering. If you're cowering, guess what? You're not rowing. And so all the one thing Jesus said to do, go to the other side. And now they're not even doing that because they're afraid. Because they couldn't see Jesus walking on a cross as a miracle. They could only see it as something to fear. How many have ever faced something in your life you thought it was going to be a horrible thing and it ended up being something great? Yeah, probably most of us. The disciples aren't alone. We do the same thing. We don't see how that God can use this, whatever this is, as something good. All we can see is we don't know how that can work and we're afraid. And then often what happens? We stop doing what we ought to be doing. We're not even giving our part. I have to wonder that, you know, was Jesus going to at first get in the boat, or was he going to walk in front of them and them have to just walk, row behind him? I mean, if Jesus is walking in front of you and you're rowing the boat, I got to think the wind's not going to be a problem. Boy, wouldn't that have been? Couldn't that have been a story? And instead, they're like, ghost. And Jesus says, "It's me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." What went wrong? My goodness, these guys that we talked about, they'd done miracles. They'd seen miracles. What happened to them? The scripture says they hardened their heart. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't learn the lessons of the loaves. What was Jesus trying to teach them? Jesus was trying to teach them, if you give me what you have, I'll take care of you. But they didn't get it. Their hearts were hardened. You say, how were their hearts hardened? Well, you remember from the Old Testament, there's another guy whose heart was hardened. His name was Pharaoh. And a lot of people want to gripe, how could God dare harden their hearts? I don't think it was God so much making Pharaoh's heart hard any more than, as the illustration goes, the same sun that melts butter hardens clay. If you got a heart, a dirt, it's going to harden. If your heart isn't where it's supposed to be, if you're not receiving the word of God and letting it come into you, if you're not learning the lessons that Jesus is trying to impart to you, then when the hard times come, your heart's going to harden. You're not going to be able to see the miracle in the midst of the storm. All you're going to do is be afraid. So what do we need to learn? Do? We need to learn. Learn those lessons that Jesus is trying to teach us. Be willing to give God all that we have and let Him take care of it. Don't quit because you're afraid. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of things that are going to happen in our lives that want to bring us fear. The diagnosis, the boss saying, I need to see you right before the end of work. Well, that comes along with that little pink slip, right? It comes with maybe in the form of a letter from the IRS. Saying, we found a mistake. Whew. By the way, I've got that letter before. The last time I used that agency to take care of my taxes. But you know what? They didn't volunteer to pay them the difference. I don't wonder what that was. It may come in some other form. But we don't need to be afraid. Because we need to trust God that if we're doing what we know to do, He'll take care of the rest. That doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect. That doesn't mean you're not going to have struggles. Jesus said we would. We would face challenges. We would face persecution. There would be times of hardship. But the thing is, God's going to give us the strength to make it. He's going to provide what we need if we trust Him. And how are you going to be able to do that? Go up the first one. Learn from the Word. Strengthen that relationship with Jesus. Have that faith that comes by getting into the Word of God. And guess what? You can have the strength to face the impossible. And you can see what makes the rest of the world terrify and see God can work this into good. You can see that, hey, what should seeming be terrifying is really God's provision, God's salvation. What may be scaring you may be Jesus there to lead you to the place you need to go. So let's trust him today. Let's stand and sing together. Let's put our trust in Jesus, the solid rock. Because when we're standing on this, we will not fail. And may God go with you this week, and may you grow in your faith and be able to face the fears of this world, trusting in him, the solid rock, Jesus Christ. God bless you, and go with God.